Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our friends who have joined us through the magic of radio.
I am dominating at my fingertips.
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition, an edition brought to you by the Winter Storm PAX, as it destroys the northern coast. I'm, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. And I'll tell you what, this was a little bit earlier today.
I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk.
You can find more of that comedy at viccomedy.com. Calm down, Dan.
True story.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. But with me, as always, is the above-average comedian, Dan Colachico. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great now. Follow me on Twitter at DaneLaw83 and the Obey Puck Show.
That's right. Obey Puck Show, of course, on Monday nights on this very network, independent and proud. That's our tagline.
I even mentioned that Monday.
Our new tagline. Now, of course, our MMA wrestling analyst, he's kind of persnickety. That's the third week in a row for those counting that I've used that word. A little persnickety tonight because his team is losing. That's right. The good old Q's is losing.
Boo.
It is. Omega Squad Chris Green. How are you, Omega?
I am well stocked in bread and milk.
You have to be down there.
Yeah. Well, I am snowed in at the moment, but... People can follow me on the internets at Omega Squad.
Now, of course, you are further south than either Dan or myself. I would be the furthest north for those that need a geography lesson, a simple geography lesson. Now,
up and down, black is white.
You have had how much snow at this point?
Oh, probably about 4 or 5 inches at this point.
And this completely cripples North Carolina.
Oh, yes. Everything is shut down. They have canceled production at my company's factory, at least for today. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's like D.C. They heard they were getting 6 to 12 inches. They closed, you know, shut down the federal employees, a bunch of counties, no going to school already. It's all coming apart.
Anyway, Dan, how about yourself? Have you seen the snow yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got about 2-3 inches already in about an hour and a half.
It has not yet started here. PAX has not, I have not felt the impact of PAX quite yet, but I'm looking forward to PAX.
We have hills.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, producer.
What?
What?
She said we have hills.
No, I said...
Well, they have hills apparently now.
The hills,
I had to do a live editing on the first part of it.
There you go. So... PAX, we're looking forward to that. Hopefully people, as they're snowed in tomorrow, will pick up the podcast. Of course, you can pick that up several different places on iTunes. The keyword there would be H-I-A-C. H-I-A-C. Or on Stitcher Radio. Plenty of places to pick up the episode. CZW 15, that was this weekend.
Oh, great show. I have never seen, since they've been in the, personally, since they've been at the Skate Zone, that place packed more. Especially for a middle of February, well, not even the middle, beginning of February show. I mean, they packed that place, and in my opinion, they didn't let anybody walk away upset.
Well, there you have it.
I feel, I mean, you know,
There you have it. We'll talk about that later on, Dan. Hashtag CZW15 on the Twitter.
Absolutely.
And you can follow along as Dan tweets out under the HIC Talk Radio Twitter at HIC Talk Radio. What's the last tweet you tweeted, Dan?
That we were live.
Okay.
And so, I'm about to tweet out the hashtag CZW15.
How about hashtag PAX?
Okay, I can do that too.
Hashtag PAX. The reason being, the Weather Channel might feature that on air, Dan.
Yeah. Ah.
Always got to be thinking. Social media.
Very good.
Can I take a brief moment to...
A brief moment, yes.
A brief moment to say, you know, what grinds my gears? Why are we naming winter storms? Silly.
Well,
silly.
What's the problem with it?
It's stupid.
It's stupid. It's like, it's as stupid as Syracuse beating Duke.
They already beat Duke.
God dang it!
They already beat Duke.
Ah!
Not tonight, though. They beat Duke a couple weeks ago. They're playing Pittsburgh tonight.
Weren't you in attendance at that Duke game? That's why you weren't here a couple weeks ago.
No, I was. That was Wake Forest.
Okay. You were at the Wake Forest game.
They can go down.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, PAX. Hashtag PAX. Hashtag CZW15.
There you go. Two hashtags that might get a little more eyes. Social media. I could turn this first half hour into a social media expose. Expo, if you will.
Why? You know what? Can we do it without naming names or alienating everybody?
No. But what I am going to talk about instead is I'm going to talk about, now, before Raw starts on USA, there is a satellite feed. If you have a satellite TV, you can pick up the feed before it starts on USA. And some people picked up on the following comments, and this caused great gnashing of teeth.
Oh, there you go. That was run out soon. How about go away? Go away.
Go away. Go away.
It doesn't last long, does it?
No, it doesn't. There's not a lot of determination to that chant.
17,491 is the number tonight, guys. Sold out.
So like I said, the people on Twitter, the people of Facebook, people of Reddit, they all came together and they said, oh my goodness, why would Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, they left out JBL, I guess because people still like JBL, but they said, Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, these guys, dang nubbit, listen to them. They're talking about CM Punk. Dan, your thoughts, first of all, on the comments today.
It really put a whole a wrench in my feeling about it being a work completely. It's as if the simple fact is WWE didn't fire CM Punk. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I said the same thing in private discussions.
He left. Whether or not it's the same, as we said last week, it's a Stone Cold thing where, you know, the door is still open. This is all his decision. So all the, you mentioned social media, all the social media groups about bringing CM Punk back and all the CM Punk movement stuff, this is his fault, guys. He's a grown man that decided to go home. And the WWE employees, workers, staff members, commentary, backstage, are the only ones that have to work through this. And it's pretty much, was it 3 weeks now, 4 weeks, almost a month, and they're moving on without him.
What choice do they have?
What choice they have, but, Dean, I think you said this to me. They're filling it pretty easily.
Oh, well, it's a machine. It's a well-oiled machine. Omega, your thoughts on this?
Well, I agree with Dan. I mean, this is CM Punk's decision. That was his choice, and he took his ball and went home. And if you know, he went home. And if you take Lawler and Cole and say, you know, what they're talking about, these are human people who, you know, who talk amongst themselves before the show starts. And you know, I don't feel. I think it's completely fine because they're not on live, and you know, people talk behind the back. At any workplace, you'll hear people talk behind the back about people in the office. It's not the end of the world. And this probably screws up. And this probably screws up WWE's plans for the biggest show of the year. And they are completely in their right to feel lousy about it, or to feel a little upset about it.
I disagree. I'm going to take on the role of Mark here.
I know, that's below.
They were upset. I mean, not they. He was upset, CM Punk. He can do no wrong in my eyes.
Oh.
I'm the internet Mark.
Lowercase Mark, not capital M. Gotcha.
Now, I'm upset because CM Punk, he had no creative control. He hasn't been champion in such a long time, and he decided to leave. I stand with CM Punk on his decision. And when he comes back, he should automatically be put in that title hunt, and he should win that title.
What about the rest of the guys that have been working on
it? No, because that wouldn't be... That wouldn't be completely hypocritical,
but
would it?
What?
Because his biggest problems are guys like The Rock who come back after a long hiatus and they're inserted in title matches. He gets upset about that. So no, he can't. No.
I enjoyed the hell out of The Rock coming back. It, overall.
I didn't.
Mark or Dean?
The Dean of Credibility.
Ah, okay. No, I, you know, that you've pretty much summarized the 99% of the internet's feelings about this whole thing. You pretty much summarized it all right there on that one.
Well, I mean, it's like I said to you, we were discussing this yesterday when I came up with we were going to talk about this. Or I'm not sure if I said we were going to talk about it, but I sent you the audio of it.
Yeah, you brought it up.
And we discussed it. And I said, it's the same thing as if when I leave a job, I decide I've had enough and I'm leaving this job. Do I expect all my fellow employees, all my compadres on that job to stand up against – it was my decision and I left. I'm echoing pretty much what Omega said, but this was his decision. He left. Shut up and get over it. Sure, his storylines weren't that great, but he had over 400 – day reign with that title, the longest since Diesel in 95?
I think so. But what I don't understand is how is the fact that he decided to leave getting lost on everybody? Everybody's, you know, WWE making a big mistake. What mistake we made?
I think the biggest thing that the mistake, whoops, sorry about that. But I think the biggest mistake that was made in the eyes of the CM Punk fans would be that he should have been interjected in a bigger storyline. But if you even ask him, he says it's Daniel Bryan's year. He's the one that he's holding out for Daniel Bryan being in the main event of WrestleMania.
Well, shut up then.
So all his fans are, I don't know what his fans want, a better story. Sure, he left. He wasn't happy. People do that every day. In America,
that's the freedom that we have. If
Omega,
we're not happy
wrap it up.
The situation to leave.
Omega, wrap it up much more eloquently than I could.
Look, I mean, CM Punk put WWE in a very untenable position at this point, and quite frankly, they have to do what they have to do. They have a big show to put on. They have a new venture to put on. They have to move on without CM Punk, and CM Punk. He has to live with whatever the consequences are of his decision. And he may be fine with that. He may be fine with just going off and not wrestling. And that's exactly what he wants to do. So,
and that's,
you know,
fine if that's what he
wants
fine.
To do. It's exactly what – exactly right. Because, I mean, it's if that's what he wants to do, that's – everyone said he can't make someone put his body on the line every night. And that's just the way it is. And if you can't accept that, then you just don't live in reality.
Mm.
Wow.
That actually was, yeah.
Well, that's why he's the MMA and wrestling analyst.
You nailed it, brother.
And you're just the chatty co-host.
Yeah, I'm happy. That's fine.
The chatty co-host. And I'm the guy who keeps these things on the rail. Now, see, perfectly timed, 9:15, I was going to start talking about Aaron Gainey. I get a message at 9 o'clock, 9:30. So.
Well, we can't talk about it for 15 minutes.
I'm not going to, Dan. I'm moving right along. I'm going to talk about Alistair Overeem with Omega because I think this can fill a little bit of time now.
Why not?
Alistair Overeem, of course, he wants to take a vacation. Dana White says, hey, we gave him two fights. We gave him a five-round main event, and we gave him a three-round fight. He ducked both. Do you think Overeem is ducking? Ducking, that's funny, Vitor Belfort. But do you think he is ducking Junior Dos Santos?
Wouldn't you? I mean, you know, I don't think Overeem is really interested in going for title shots at this point. I think he is more looking to I think he's looking for easy fights. That's why he calls it up Brock Lesnar. You know, he's managing his career at this point. He's just not stepping up to the ball. And this is what I don't understand. If this is a legitimate sport, why is anyone ducking anyone? Why is anyone being given the choice? You know, barring injury, barring some kind of scheduling conflict that makes sense, you shouldn't be refusing fights, in my opinion. And so it's a little ridiculous that Overeem is ducking Junior Dos Santos. Junior Dos Santos is a big fight. It's a big name. It should be a big payday. And quite frankly, Overeem needs to earn his salary because he gets paid quite a bit to not look good. So
I'm also of the agreement with you that why are we giving people – well, I mean, they have to sign the contract. I suppose that's where the choosing comes in. But,
yeah, well, I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs of the fight game, and from that perspective, you know, how does that work when you sign up for a fight?
You know what? Next time Mick Maynard comes on, we're gonna ask him.
Yeah,
like sure. I mean, can a guy turn down a fight? Obviously, they can, and it's happened. And even once the contract is signed, people still pull out. But it's an interesting subject because I'm of your opinion. Hey, I'm the boss. I want you to fight Junior Dos Santos. Do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. If you're looking for a title shot, if you're looking for Cain Velasquez, you gotta get by Junior Dos Santos. Quite frankly.
Well, he's entrenched at that number one spot in the heavyweight division.
Well, you know, we've talked about it on numerous occasions. It's Cain Velasquez, it's Junior Dos Santos, and then it's everybody else. So if Cain Velasquez isn't available and he's not looking for a fight, Junior Dos Santos is, you know, a younger guy would step up to that immediately. Travis Brown would step up to that immediately, I would think.
Travis Brown, different type of fighter, I think, though. Up and comer.
And that's fair, but... So
Alistair,
you know,
Overeem wants to get out of these. What, he has two fights left. He wants to get out of this two fight streak he has left. He probably wants to go out on a high note. How old is he? He's what, 34?
He's not that old. I mean, I don't know. I have to look him up, but I mean, he's not that old at all. You know, and he's supposed to be this top tier athlete. You know. I don't understand it, but I mean, I don't want to say it's cowardly because I don't like using that term for someone who gets in a cage because I'm certainly not dragging my butt into a cage to fight someone.
Could someone hold my glasses if I get in the cage?
Yeah.
That's all I want to know.
Right. Well, unless I'm announcing doing the Bruce Buffer thing, I'm not getting in the cage, but, It's not going to...
Make sure you pay the commission by check. That's all I can say.
Right.
If you want that.
Yeah, so it just... But it smacks of just of managing your career, and that doesn't look good from a fighter. It hurts his legacy. It hurts his respect from fans, and I just think it's a poor choice.
I certainly couldn't agree more with you on this topic. Now, Dana White did say his fight with Frank Mir was, quote, crappy.
It was.
Overeem even came out and said, hey, I had to, quote, play it safe. So, and further, Dana White said that the Ream was, quote, hiding from a showdown against Sagano. This is Dana White. He's the boss. So if, you got to impress this guy.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think you got to impress him. You got to impress Joe Silva. I mean, these are the guys you got to impress, and you come off with that win looking crappy. I'm not sure why they gave him. I think other than Junior Dos Santos needing a fight and Alistair Overeem's price tag, I don't think there's any reason that Overeem deserved a fight with Junior Dos Santos. But I still think he should have taken it.
Oh, certainly. I couldn't agree more. That's why you're the MMA / wrestling analyst. Lucha-Rock.com. That's where you can find the album Musica in Masquerada, and that is available for $9 for instant download. That's the way the world moves today. Instant download. Another thing that just came out on instant download is, of course, the first anniversary show. Destroy Everything is available at Smart Mark Video. So go to Smart Mark Video, get the instant download of Destroy Everything, On Point Wrestling's last show, and some great commentary provided by yours truly and MLJ. You can find MLJ at Guapo MLJ.
Pounds.
That's right, pounds. So what I'm going to do, we're going to move right along. We're going to talk about these. We don't have knockouts of the night. We don't have submissions of the night. What do we have now?
We have performance of the night.
Now, what does that mean? Do we still have fight of the night?
Yes, we still have fight of the night.
So we still have those two individuals will still get the bonus.
Yes.
But now we have performance of the night. Now, what the hell does that mean? That sounds even more subjective than the judging, Omega.
It is. I mean, it's always been subjective. If you look at the history of the UFC bonus structure, you've often seen most of these things go to main card fighters, whether or not the undercard fights were potentially better. So it's always been some kind of a vague thing in Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta's head. They just kind of decide who gets the bonuses at the end of the night. It's their money. They can do what they want. But at least it had some semblance of structure in saying if you had a KO and you had a submission, they were treated equally. And if there was only one of each, you knew you were getting the bonus. So now it's a bit more subject. Now it's performance. So in theory, those people who had really like one-sided fights, but looked really dominating doing so, they could conceivably get the bonus, even if they don't finish.
Now let's just hypothesize here for a second. So, fight of the night for UFC 167 was Hendricks and GSP. So you could have given Hendricks, under this new way of doing things, you could have given Hendricks performance of the night if you so wanted to.
Yes.
Interesting. You could have given Diego Sanchez a performance of the night.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, that you could have done something like that. Now, it opens up a number of possibilities as to who gets this bonus money, but it also it could be argued now that you don't have to finish. You just have to look good. So.
Well, that could be its own problem, right?
Yeah.
Because people could just be trying to be flashy in there.
Right. You could just be flat, just trying to get performance of the night, and you don't actually finish. You can still where I saw one article go down the path, the conspiracy theory, if you will, is now this just gives more of a reason to give the name fighters the bonus money, and the undercard fighters will just have to make do with their show and win money.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. You might, on UFC 169, the last pay-per-view, you probably would have given that to the only good fight on that card. You probably would have given it to, well, they did win Fight of the Night, though.
Yeah.
But
Robbie Lawler and them, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I can't buy into that. You think they're really going to just give more money to the rich and the Benoits of the world? Well,
I don't know. Again, it is Dana and Lorenzo's show. They can do what they want.
That's true. I mean, nobody says that they have to give out these bonuses in the first place.
No, there's nothing saying it should go this way. I've seen,
but it's an institution. This is why I'm upset. It's been there since 2006.
I tend to agree with you. I like having it saying KOs and submissions, and then arguably you can now say, well, if I have two knockouts you can also say that knockouts will now get preference over submissions. Because knockouts are, at least for the casual fan, are more exciting. So now you can give, if you have two KOs and a submission on the card, you can say, well, I like the KOs better than the simple rear naked choke. And now that guy who would have gotten submission of the night bonus in previous events now doesn't get it because he didn't knock him out spectacularly, or he just walked into a choke. It arguably diminishes the grappling game in MMA from that perspective. Now, it doesn't mean that the grappling game is going away. Don't get me wrong. People are still going to try to win however they need to, and they're going to get a submission. They're going to do that. But I don't necessarily care for the performance. Like you said, it's an institution. I like rewarding all aspects of mixed martial arts. I like rewarding the striking with the KO of the night. I like rewarding the grappling with the submission of the night. And I like the overall fight to get best fight on the card to get the money. I like that idea. I'm not necessarily in favor of this, I guess.
You know what? I think they should do it the way Legacy does it. Legacy, if there's a finish, whether it's a KO, whether it's a submission, you get some extra money. Now, it's not to the degree of Dana White money, shall we say, but if you finish, you get $1,000 right then and there. They put it in a little trophy, like a dollar store trophy, and throw it in, and they give you the bills right there.
Right.
Why not do it like that?
I like that idea. I really do. I mean, I think
and guys are going for finishes.
Yeah. I think you do that. You could even treat it kind of like a lottery. I mean, UFC puts aside, whatever it is, a couple hundred thousand dollars on every event to pay these bonuses to about $50,000 a piece. The two fighters in the fight of the night get $50,000 each, and then $50,000 for the KO and the submission. Why not take that $100,000 that you give into KO and submission and throw it into a big finish pot? And if you're the guy, and for every finish that's on the card, they get a share of that. You know, so if you're the only guy that finishes on a boring card, you get $100,000. If there's 10 finishes, well, you get 10. But it's still better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. Everybody's going for finishes because they have a shot, and then it's not subjective that my finish was better than yours.
I certainly can agree with that. I just like the Legacy way of doing it because it's a sponsor that's doing it. That's giving away the money. But I think it still works. You could even sponsor, I forget, Ready Any Minute or whatever it's called. But they're the ones who do it, and it's a fantastic idea, and it works, and you see these guys, and $1,000 can really be what they're taking home after you take into the account of the cost of your trainer and the cost of the gym, the cost of all these things.
Yeah.
So that could actually be their take-home money, that $1,000. People kind of chuckle at it, but I think it's very true, especially for these, the guys in the regionals, where $1,000 is certainly a lot of money.
You know, we've talked ad nauseum on this show about, you have to be able to finish to be successful in MMA and certainly in the UFC. Why not make it more of a thing, not just the one guy who does the best? I mean, that certainly does incentivize people, but make it for everybody, and then more people will go for finishes and take risks.
Well, there you have it. Now, what I do want to talk about, Dan, moving right along, Omega, we're going to get back to our discussion on UFC. There's a big fight night coming up, of course. with some implications, a lot of people are saying, for that middleweight, middleweight title. Of course, we're talking about Machida. We're talking about Souza, right? No, not Souza. Souza's in the co-main event. Well, whoever the hell he's fighting. It's big. It's big, Omega.
It is. Francis Carmont is who Souza's fighting.
Well, who the hell is Machida fighting?
Machida's fighting Gegard Mousasi.
Who's on first? That's what I want to know, but we'll get back to that when I have the proper...
proper mindset?
Yes, when I'm ready to talk about it. Now, Dan, I hope you're ready.
I'm here.
Okay.
Blood, pride, survive. You're forsaken, your bones are breaking. Yeah. Like the Nazi, like the tribes that come to battle on this night. The ring, the field, the field of the war. That's where they lay the law.
Lay the law, once again, prepare for war. This is the real, an eye for an eye. To live is to die, a fear to die.
To blood, to pride, to thrive.
From the Flyer Skate Zone in beautiful Voorhees, New Jersey, it was CZW 15th year anniversary, and my goodness, Dan, you watched it on iPay-Per-View. I took it all in. I was there. Part of it. Part of it. 15 years, Dan.
Oh, my God.
It smelled, as soon as you walked in, it smelled like a county jail, but that's besides the point. Let's talk about CZW 15.
Hold on. Wait. Why do you know what a county jail smells like?
Well, in my past, Dan, I did deliver essentials to prisoners. That was one of the jobs when I came back from Las Vegas and I moved back to New Jersey. I did deliver essentials. It was $100 a day. It was a four-hour work day, Dan.
I'll take that.
So there you go. That's what I did when I came back from New Jersey. A little bit more of Double D trivia for you. Now let's move on to CZW 15, hashtag CZW 15 on the Twitter. It started out hot, Dan. It was Shane Strickland defeating a guy I know very well, the Chainsaw Joe Gacy. A kick to the back of the head put him down. What do you have to say about that one, Dan?
First of all, Shane Strickland surprises me every time. He's a great performer. I love what he does in the ring. But Joe Gacy catches a lot of crap from the fans, and I think every single match he puts on, especially on iPay-Per-View, he shows everybody up, does something new, does something different.
There was a feeling, an excitement with that crowd, Dan.
Was there? I was hoping it would go the other way because, you know, I'm a Gacy guy. But
I'm a Gacy guy, too. Let's get those shirts.
Okay, let's do that.
I'm a Gacy guy. And just
put
his bearded,
beautiful face
right there.
Put it right there on the front.
But there you go. I'm a Gacy guy. You're a Gacy guy. Omega, he's a Gacy guy, too.
He's a Gacy guy. Wouldn't you like
sure, why not?
A Gacy guy, too?
We're going off the rails is what that is.
Oh,
but Shane Strickland,
I don't know how.
But Shane Strickland looked very impressive in this.
Oh, and again, he always does. And I was hoping for it to go the other way, but the better man that night won. Great match. Great opener.
It certainly was. Now, Tommy Dreamer comes out at this point, and he says, you can't lie to the fans. Biff Busick, he's out. He's got a knee injury. He won't be here. And there's going to be an open spot in the four-way later on. And then he said, hey, we're going to give you something for free. We're going to give you an extra main event. You thought you were going to get AJ Styles and Drew Gulak was your main event? I'm Tommy Dreamer. I changed things around. That caught the ire of the boss of the Combat Zone, DJ Hyde, who came out. He told Tommy, hey, I respect you, but I make these calls. Get out of here. Tommy said, whatever, you look like Charlie Brown in the suit. Bop, bop, bop. And then he leaves. I'm trying to compress this all because so much happened. But then he announced two people for Tournament of Death coming up on June 14th, Dan. And one is, of course, the reigning Tournament of Death champion, and that is, of course, Danny Havoc. What do you think of Danny Havoc being selected for Tournament of Death?
I think I think it's a wild card. In fact, I'm going to go with him as my pick this year for Tournament of Death.
So back-to-back, only one person's done that. His name is Masada, so you're gonna call for him. He's already a two-time winner. He did win two tournaments. Last year was the second.
I'm going with Danny Havoc again this year.
So you're saying another back-to-back Tournament of Death champion and the only three-time
I think that
winner.
That man has more of a pain threshold than we know, and I think he can do it again.
He certainly does. I saw him after last year's Tournament of Death, all torn up. He still had glass in his back, Dan.
Ugh. Ow. Ow.
I asked him for an exclusive interview. He said, ow. Unfortunately, I didn't have my recorder on me. But, Dan, here's the thing. The next one from Big Japan, because this is DJ didn't make it too clear, but he announced it last year at Tournament of Death that it's going to be Big Japan Pro Wrestling versus CZW. And your second competitor is the Crazy Monkey Jun Kasai, and you've seen a few of his matches.
I've seen a few of his matches. I still don't know a lot about the guy, but I'm excited about the versus stipulation on the whole thing this year. So I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be my first... It'll be my second Tournament of Death that I've been able to that I'm going to see live.
I think you should make it there.
It's Delaware,
it's Woodstock.
Isn't it?
Yes, it's Woodstock for. It's just crazy, Dan.
I have not seen a live CZW show in a long time.
It's a quiet hamlet that this farm is on.
It's a quiet hamlet that they just destroy.
Well, they really don't destroy anything. They destroy the things in the ring, but that's besides the point.
What's going on over there?
But why is a man on fire? Now, Dan, then probably the biggest highlight for me personally, DJ Hyde inducted the next member of the CZW Hall of Fame, and it was none other than DJ Hyde, the ultra-violent icon, the Babe Ruth of the Combat Zone.
That's all I got.
Oh, come on, Dan. This was a huge moment. But taking exception to this was Black G's, and we'll get more on that in a second. Now, Dan, I have to admit, my tummy was rumbling. I didn't get to see this next match.
Oh.
Or the one following.
Wow. Caleb, a rumble.
Oh, it was. Let me tell you. I was very hungry. But Caleb Connolly defeated Pepper Parks via submission with the O face. What do you have to say about that, Dan?
I still don't know what to think about Pepper Parks. Caleb Connolly is becoming one of my favorites, real quick.
Really?
I had no idea who he was about 4 or 5 shows ago, and I when he comes out, I'm like, oh, this is going to be really good. I really like the guy.
There you go.
Pepper Parks, when he comes out, you're going to be entertained. That's all I got to say about Pepper Parks.
Greg Excellent defeated Joey Ryan with a reversal on a roll-up, Dan, and I heard there were a lot. I'm glad, in a way, that I missed this. I heard it was entertaining. However, I heard there were Captain Dave, of course, from Captain Dave's Wrestling Reporting, one of the best sources for independent wrestling out there. Now, Captain Dave told me that there was a gay sex theme going through this. Can you care to comment on this? I heard something about a lollipop or something. Right?
Pretty much, yeah. A lollipop went places I would never stick a lollipop, and then back in mouths.
Back in mouths.
Yeah. I didn't expect that. Even I was like, okay. I hope he's tested. More than usual.
Well, moving right along.
I can't really explain it any better than that, my friend.
Moving right along, it was for the Wired Championship. Devin Moore defeated Matt Tremont with a roll-up to retain the title, very briefly.
I was really hoping it would go the other way. I really want Matt to get his hands on a championship.
His first title match.
Yeah, I expected more from that. I mean, as far as the champion changing hands. But Devin Moore... He was able to hold the bulldozer back, and he still got the title.
Kimberly, I believe this one stole the show in my mind. Kimberly defeated Candice LeRae with a power bomb.
That was a hell of a good-looking power bomb. I mean, that power bomb was powerful.
Kimberly, she will be joining us on March 19th, Dan, so we can talk to her about her recent we haven't talked to her since 2012. So.
No, I'm looking forward to catch up. She's one of my favorites, period.
Now, this was a four-way tornado tag match, the front, and that's, of course, Niles Young. He's still Niles Young to me, damn it. And Ace defeated the Juicy Product. That's David Starr and JT Dunn. Nation of Intoxication and Ohio is for Killers.
It was one of those matches that could have you could have lost track of, but those guys were all over the place and just killing each other in the ring.
Yakuza that, kick to end it, Dan.
That Yakuza kick was awesome. That's my tweet simply stated, "What a effing Yakuza kick!" And
now,
he's also one of my favorites. So,
all right, CZW Tag Team Title Match. It was the Beaver Boys. That's Alex Reynolds and John Silver. They defeated Murderers Row, Azrael and Alex Colon to retain. Not only that, Dan, it looks like Murderers Row is done.
You know what? One person doesn't show up, the glue doesn't show up, and the whole thing falls apart.
There you go. Hashtag support Bandito on that one. Number one contendership match. Now this one, AR Fox defeated Drake Younger, Black G's, and Chris Dickinson. Black G's inserted himself in there because of the opening left by Biff Busick. He was taken out by DJ Hyde, but moreover, the fact is AR Fox will be challenging Drew Gulak at the next show, March 8th.
What more can you say?
There you go. This was what we thought was the main event, but it wasn't quite, Dan. CZW World Championship, it was AJ Styles. He defeated Drew Gulak via disqualification. Gulak does retain the championship. However, AJ Styles decimated the champion and Kimberly with the Styles clash.
I really didn't expect this to go any other way. I really had faith that the champion was going to keep the title in CZW.
Well, I agree, and then
I could elaborate, but I didn't know you wanted me to.
I don't because
okay, cool. Go.
Aaron has finally shown up, so I'm trying to breeze right through this, Dan.
Oh, time to go.
So Danny Havoc in the true main event of the night. Danny Havoc defeated Drake Younger in an ultra-violent match. Your thoughts on that?
Just amazing to curtain call like that and to go again and just beat the crap out of each other like that. Some of these guys are looked down upon, but some of these guys really ought to be given standing ovations for the what they put their bodies through.
That is for sure. Now, the next show will, of course, be March 8th. And they already announced that AR Fox will be wrestling Drew Gulak on that one. Now, what I'm doing, Dan, we are going to get right to Aaron Gainey. Now, I asked him yesterday, I said, hey, what do you want to talk about? He said, I got things to talk about. So, on that note, here comes. I said, hey, what do you want for your music? He said, music doesn't matter. So.
Okay.
I hope he likes Barney Miller. Monster Factory graduate. He is one of the original Nigerian Nightmares. It is Aaron Gainey. How are you tonight, Aaron?
I'm great. I'm great. Hello, fellas. You know, that was a perfect entrance. Way better than last time. And the Barney Miller music is great. That was great.
Okay. I'm glad you enjoyed. Now, I don't know what the hell you want to talk about, Aaron. I'm kind of...
A whole sorts of things. Things changed in my life since last time. Last time I was on, it was a little controversial, and I was more bitter. And I got a lot of feedback from the last show. I never listened to it, but I got a lot of feedback from positive and negatives and stuff like that. But I got a lot of feedback, which means a lot of people did listen.
Well, I certainly – I could have told you that, Aaron. But what was some of the positive feedback you heard then?
You know, it was people that agreed with what I was talking about, and it was people that reached out to me and stuff like that. I'm not going to put them out there or anything like that.
No.
But, it was you know, my thing is, here's my thing on that whole issue. I consider myself very wrong for doing it that way, because it was an issue that I had between Dan McDonald and myself that I should have talked to him instead of going on air about. And what I did was I just reacted real, real, real wrong, and then went on air and just blew it up. And then people went to him and said that I said more than what I said, and you know, it just blew out of proportion, where I could have just solved anything problem that I had with him. So I took the route out by going on air, and I'll be the first to say that, and doing that. And you know, at that time, I was, you know, not to use it as an excuse, but you know, I was out of the hospital and stuff. They put you on heavy medication. My memory was a little where I didn't remember certain things. I remember saying that Dan never came to the hospital to see me, which he did. You know what I mean? In hindsight, I remember now. But at that time, I didn't remember. At that time, man, I didn't remember talking to people, seeing people, because my memory was so messed up. You know, when you go through a coma, it's a traumatic, traumatic thing where you just, sometimes you think people are against you. You're on heavy medication, man. It's just a lot, man. So a lot of stuff that I say, I didn't lie. A lot of stuff that I said did happen. It's just the way that I shouldn't have used that forum to say anything, you know what I mean? But people, you know, it just was what it was, man. You guys, people tried to blame you guys, saying that you guys egged me on, which you guys didn't. I defended you guys and said, no, y'all didn't egg me on to say anything. You know what I'm saying? That was all me. But my main intention was to, you know, when you're hurt, your main intention is to get that person back, is to hurt them, and that was my main intention at that time. And I was on I was on that level of trying to hurt Dan, and it was just wrong, because what I did was have a problem that was between me and Dan escalated to a problem between me and the Monster Factory, me and Larry, me and everybody there, everybody that ever went there. Because he's the face of the Monster Factory, and he represents the Monster Factory. So not only I disrespected him, I disrespected everybody that's been there, Larry Sharp, everything, over a problem that was between me and him that could have been solved as, like, adults. So I've already talked to him and apologized. I'm just going to publicly apologize right now. And any problem that people have with Dan, that's their problem. Like, I love Jake Bishop, I love Dan McDonald, and if they have problems with each other, I don't give a f***. That's their beef. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get in the middle between anybody else's beef, because most of my friends don't like each other anyway. You know, I have friends from different circles, man. So I just learned to just deal with it and deal with it like that. But, you know, that's just what it was. But, yeah, it's all about growth, man. I mean, at our age, you still can grow and you still can learn. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about growth, man. And I'm learning every day. I'm growing. Nobody's perfect. But like I said, I'm not a liar. Dan's not a liar. And I know that you're not a liar. Okay? So nobody has lied. And let's just put that out there. And that's just what it is. And Jake's not a liar, as far as I know. I know Jake's not a liar. So when you got the four of us who are not liars, and we're all headstrong, and we're coming out, and it's just the way that we all just came out with it, you know what I'm saying? So we got four guys that are not liars, and we just all headstrong, and we're coming out with stuff where private conversation, we could have just settled all this. It's over nothing.
I think the biggest thing that has come out of all this, that in your situation, in our situation, and even in the situation of the people that it happened to, even though maybe one or two might not realize it, a lot of it was just miscommunication. The big word is miscommunication. And all this stuff snowballed and rolled downhill. And there's a lot of things that have to change to get past it now.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say miscommunication because I knew what I was doing. Okay, like, we all know what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? We know what we said. We know what we were doing. So, and you know, we had fun doing it. You know what I mean? I had fun saying the stuff that I said. It wasn't right and stuff, but it was fun at the time. But the thing is, you got to look in hindsight. Right is right and wrong is wrong. You know what I mean? But you turn negatives, you turn it into a positive and stuff like that, just like, you know, Dean Dixon is the, what do you do? The
Dean of Credibility.
Exactly.
The Dean of Credibility.
Yes.
And that's because of you.
Yeah, exactly. Turned the negative into a positive.
You came on here, you know what, you came on here f***ing me, but you weren't f***ing me, you were saying monsterfactory.org. That's what you were
doing.
There
you go.
Every time you said monsterfactory.org, it was a in my mind.
It was like you.
It was beautiful.
It was, but.
Yes, it was, in a clean way, you know, but it is what it is. Now, what's been up, fellas? I've seen you guys are working with CZW or something like that, or what are you guys doing?
No, we were just covering the show that was we don't work with them. We're not good friends of CZW. We just cover the action that we see. That's what we do.
Okay. Yeah,
we are the only truly independent wrestling podcast, MMA podcast on the market.
That's true. Independent and proud. But what are you up to? Yeah, but what are you up to?
Well,
you got some stuff, right?
Yeah. I've been working close with Damon Feldman, who's been in the news lately.
I know that guy.
I've been working closely with him. I don't know if you got heat with him or not. You know, seems like everybody that I'm friends with, people got heat with. You know, so.
What's the name?
Damon Feldman.
He's a celebrity boxing promoter.
Oh,
yeah.
I have no heat with him.
He talks a lot like, no, I don't have heat with him either, but he's very like, you know, this fight's going to be great, guys. He's very, very deep voice and very, very, very animated.
I think the Reverend Bob Levy might have heat with him, though.
Oh, Bob, see, I'm friends with Bob Levy, see, so everybody, all my friends have heat with each other, I see.
That's
so.
Right.
Yeah,
that's fine. I've been working closely with him and stuff, getting this World Extreme Entertainment thing off. I'm going to debut as one of his managers. I'm going to be one of the managers there. It's going to be two managers. It's going to be me and another manager. And he's the one manager is going to manage half of the guys, and I'm going to manage the other half. And it's going to be a mixture of boxing, wrestling, MMA. It's going to be pretty good. It's a pretty good concept. First show is April 12th at the Marvel Sports Arena. It's the Sandman versus former heavyweight champion Tim Witherspoon, a boxer versus wrestler match, which would be pretty good. Like I said, he's getting a lot of heat, Feldman, because of the Zimmerman thing. I know if you guys heard about it or not, but Zimmerman was going to fight DMX, and Damon wound up putting a kibosh to it because it was just, you know, it was just too much. So. Which he made a good decision by canceling it, but in hindsight, it put Damon Feldman's name out there and World Extreme Entertainment's name out there. So, you know, it was a real controversial thing and everything, so I'm just glad it worked out where nobody got hurt or anything like that. You know, we just had to put, like, personal opinions aside.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, tell me more about this WEE, I suppose it would be called. Tell me a little bit more about it. Oh, WX. Oh, that's where I went wrong. So WXE.
Yes.
Okay.
Like I said, it's a mixture between boxing and wrestling and MMA, and it's going to be tag team boxing, women.
Tag team boxing.
Tag team boxing, brother. And it's going to be women, it's going to be wrestlers. I'm involved in it. Ron Starr is involved in it. And
I thought Ron Starr was,
involved in it heavily. And it's going to be a slew of, we're going to get some workers, some wrestlers out there. And it's something that's a new concept that's it's going to get off. And I'm going to make sure if it's not, I'm going to make sure that it's legit. If it wasn't legit, I wouldn't have anything to do with it. But I'm It's legit, and that's probably going to be the only thing wrestling-wise that I'm going to be doing. I'm going to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to focus on that and just make sure that it just gets off without a hitch, man, which it should. I've known Damon for, like, since the 90s, man, you know, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we go way back, and everything that, you know, he's done has to a degree, has become successful, and it could have been more. But we're
going to
make sure that this goes off.
Okay, that's really interesting. Are you back involved with the Monster Factory? Anything talked about there? I know you and Dan, as you even said here tonight.
Yeah, we buried the hatchet, man, which is great. You know, that was a great thing, you know, because that was weighing heavily on my conscience and stuff like that, man. Because, you know, wrestling aside, Dan was a real good friend and stuff like that, man. And Larry was a father figure. And, you know, I hurt feelings, man. So I had to, you know, apologize and make sure that everything was cool. And it was. I finally saw Larry for the first time. I had seen him on Saturday. He's looking pretty good. And I talked to Dan several times and saw him Saturday. And they're doing a good thing, doing a good product. And I was well with them, you know. I went there and I'm the official timekeeper at the Bell. And I enjoy doing it. And I ring the bell. I watch the action. That's cool. That's as far as I'll go to do that, like behind the scenes and stuff like that, decisions and stuff like that. I really don't want too much to do with that. But the doing the Monster Factory, it's going pretty good. They're running a pretty good product, and I'm happy for them. You know, they drew a pretty good, considering that CZW was the same area, same night, and CZW drew, you know, over 1,000 people.
Yeah.
So they have that cool audience, and
wow,
you know, they're doing very, very well.
Well, one of the interesting things about the Monster Factory that I found is that they do bring in some of the top names out there. I mean, earlier this month they brought in Colt Cabana and Cliff Compton. They bring in a lot of interesting people. Larry was even on Colt Cabana's webcast.
Yeah, he was, which was pretty interesting. I heard it, and Monster Factory had their own webcast, too. And, you know, like I said, they're doing their thing, man. They're doing their thing, and it's different. You know, they're doing something different. They're not doing it the way that I would do it, but it's not my thing. But whatever way that Dan's doing it, it's working. So as long as it's working, that's basically all that matters. It's about getting people to come to the shows, and people leave with a smile on their face. So that's what it's all about, asses and seats.
Yeah. As long as there's an ass every 6 inches, everything's doing it pretty good there. So I can't agree more.
Yeah.
What?
You know, every 6 inches, that's how wide the seats are? See, that's a problem. That's a problem. We'll get into that. Yeah, we'll get into that later. That's a problem. But, yeah, man. So it's pretty good, man. But also, I want to start up a podcast, man. I want to start
we
up
were
a
discussing
podcast.
This. Yeah,
we were discussing that behind the scenes. I wanted to start up a podcast, something different, not what you do, but just something different because I was, I have addictions. Everybody has addictions, okay, in life, okay. I think what helps me with my addictions is to talk about it, and I think I know a lot of people that have the same addictions, okay? So if you talk about it and you discuss it, you know, it kind of helps you with it because I have addictions that I'm not going to fix. I'm not going to change because I just ain't. My addictions are WWE.
Okay.
That's my addictions. Women, wrestling, and eating. If it has nothing to do with that, I don't have nothing to talk about.
Eating is a serious addiction.
Women wrestling and eating. If you don't do any of the three, there's nothing to talk about. We're not friends.
Sometimes you can do all three at the same time, Aaron.
All three at the same time. We talked about it on the last podcast that I was on with you. All three at the same time is the greatest thing in the world. But it's the same part of the brain, man, because you can never, ever, ever eat a cheesesteak and say, man, you know, I wonder what's happening on wrestling, or can't mix all three. It's the same part of the brain, man. So if you mix all three, it's probably the biggest orgasm in the world, man.
Yeah.
But Yeah, but that's the kind of stuff I'm going to talk about in my podcast, man. Just sit around, be fat, and talk about women and what do you want to eat and recipes and like that, man. We're just going to have fun and be fat and just we'll have some skinny guests and stuff like that. But also, on the serious side, too, I want to get into the mind of an indie worker. See, people interview indie workers, which you do, no disrespect, but I want to know going on with you in your real life. Like, why are you doing this? You're a nutcase, man, because we're all nutcases to do this. And all wrestling fans are a little throwed off, okay? Let's just put it out there. And throwed off wrestling fans become... We're throwed off. Throwed off wrestling fans become throwed off wrestlers eventually in the wrestling business. So I like to get into the mind of what the hell do you do in your real life? Like, what's up? Okay, can you imagine me... what does Devin Moore does in his real life? Like, can you imagine spending a day with Devin Moore? Just putting him out there. Just one name. I just threw it out there.
I know what he does. I know what he does with his...
Because you're his friend. You're his friend. You know. But what I'm saying is, do people know? Can you imagine riding on a SEPTA bus with Devin Moore, going to the corner store with him? Seriously. Or just anybody else, just randomly. Like, can you imagine anybody? Just throw a name out there. Like, what do they do besides wrestling? What do they talk about? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I get it. I get the concept of it, and it's a good concept. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like that. It's just, like, once you find out, sometimes, mm-hmm. like, that – because I'm sure there's fans out there that think that a lot of these guys, they don't have, in quotations, a shoot job. This is what they do. And there's very few that actually do make a living doing it. So,
right. But you got to understand, I'm a worker, and I've been in the business, and I've never seen Mike Keener – out of a wrestling environment. If I see him at a Wawa, it's going to just blow my mind. You know what I'm saying? And if I just see, like, anything, you know what I mean? Like, if I see Atu at Walmart buying for sheets or something, I'm going to be like, what are you doing? You know, and I'm a worker. What do you guys do? What's in your mind? Like, where'd you go to school at? You know, regular school, you know? I want to know the real deal about these people, because these indie guys got real stories, man, and it's not out there. They're not putting it out there. Every time I talk to an indie guy, I say, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm getting booked here and booked there and booked there. I don't want to hear it. I want to know how you doing. How many kids you got, bro? You know what I mean? What's your kid's name? Really? You know? Like, I want to know the real deal.
Yeah, no, I get you. That's I like it. We're going to develop this.
Yeah.
You will be the newest edition on the network.
Yeah. So I need your help, bro. You know, I mean, just like I helped you with the Dean of Credibility, I need you to help me with, with this thing.
This is a paycheck, you know.
Wrestling, exactly. Women, and Eating, live
right.
from Nigeria. That's what I like.
Nigeria.
No, we're dropping that. No.
No. I'm going back to my roots, man, my real roots. See, listen, you got to understand this. I was raised in Norristown, Pennsylvania, okay? And in Norristown, Pennsylvania, at the time, okay, it's a Mexican community now, but at the time it was an Italian community, all right? Now, my household wasn't the best household. I wasn't raised in the best household, so I would go to my friends' houses, and all my friends were Italian. So I know a lot about the Italian heritage more than the black heritage, okay? And that's just what it was, because I had a lot of Italian friends, and that's what I was raised around. And Tom Brandy's like the king of Norristown, so it's like, I just know Italian. So I'm going to my Italian roots, and that's just what it is, man. So, you know.
Wait, did you know him growing up?
No, because he lived on the other side, the more richer side of Norristown.
Okay.
And he was kind of big time, man. I would try to find him and stuff, and I finally found him. I always heard about Tom Brandy and stuff, and I finally found him and stuff, and he kind of big-timed me and stuff and everything until I became grown up and became a wrestler and stuff, and now we're friends. But, no, I didn't know him growing up at all. No, but Tom Brandy, he's the man. He's the man in our town. And, man, I'm going back to my Italian roots, brother.
So an Italian African-American.
That's right, man, eating cannolis and fried chicken.
I love it.
Awesome.
I love it. I love the concept of this podcast. I really do.
We're
going to
be eating on the air and stuff, bro. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds great, man. Do you have anything else for us? Because I got to move it along here.
nothing too much, nothing controversial, anything like that. But we'll talk off the air, definitely, if you can help me out with that. And I could join your family of networks of indie podcasts.
That's right.
And
independent and proud.
And definitely, definitely. And I would want you involved with the Damon Feldman production, WXE. I definitely want Hell in a Cell involved in it.
Oh, that's even better.
Yes, yes, of course, of course. And, you know, basically, yeah, that's about it, man. At one point, I was talking about getting back into the ring and stuff like that. I really was. I remember talking to you behind the scenes about it.
Yeah,
but then
as
the weather got cold and these old bones started hurting and everything, I said, I don't think so.
So no more Dumbo drops for us.
No more Dumbo drops. We'll leave that for the YouTube and stuff. But I got a ticket to WrestleMania, and I'm driving to WrestleMania.
Really?
Yes, I am driving all the way from Philadelphia to New Orleans. Yes.
Now, that would be a road trip I would want to be a part of.
Exactly. It's going to be fun. I'm going with Stefan Benson and his friends and stuff. We're all going to pack in my car. We're going to go there for over a week. It's going to be fun. And
obviously, you'll be a part of WrestleCon, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Who's out there? Yeah, I want to go to some indie shows out there. Do you know anything?
CZW, I know, is involved in some of it. Evolve will most likely be involved, like last year. Chikara, now that they're back, maybe. I don't know. They have their return for May, so I don't know if they'll actually be a part of it. But
is it all
yeah.
in one show?
No. It's spread out through the whole, like, WrestleCon, how it worked last year was Friday night, CZW had a show, and then Saturday there were, like, five different shows through the day, and then Sunday had two shows. So.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going, man. I'm going. I'd rather do that than go to the Access and stuff like that. You know, I'm going to go to see some indie shows and go down Bourbon Street and get some beads and get drunk. And it's going to be, I'm going to have a ball. I'm going to be sending a whole bunch of pictures on Facebook and do some reports. And it's going to be great out there. I'm going to have a ball. Catch a couple of STDs, get arrested. But you know what? It'll all be fun because it's all about having fun, bro.
STDs and fun. Now, that's two things I did not think would come up in the same sentence. Now, where can people find you?
I have two Facebook pages, Aaron Ganey, and I have Aaron Juice Benzarelli Ganey. That's my Italian heritage, Juice Benzarelli.
I love it. Aaron, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you. Shout-outs, because I'm black. Black people do shout-outs. Billy Real. Shout out to Billy Real, Jason Gotti, Major McClendon, Dan, Larry, all right, whatever. Everybody else I forgot, Mike Silk, whatever. Everybody else I forgot, whatever.
There you go. Thank you so much. And to take us out, it's Jungle Boogie.
There you go.
Famer and a general nice guy, Aaron Ganey. Dan, how'd you feel about that one?
I'm looking really forward to that. Well, I want to be added to that group, but I'm really looking forward to that podcast. I don't know how you can't laugh at that.
It will be an interesting one. It will be an interesting one. But
and
we
you're
have...
right. I'm sorry. You're right, though. He is, like, a nice guy.
Oh, he is. He certainly is. Clearing the air, as we say. You know?
It's the right thing to do.
you know, sometimes it is. But our next guest, Dan, is available. He is here. And I can't wait. It's young Oz Tyler. Oz Tyler has been making a lot of noise since debuting. And On Point Wrestling, the ongoing story in On Point Wrestling is the rise of this young man as he tries to gain respect and as he tries to get to the pay window. So I can't wait to hear from young Oz Tyler, and he is our guest coming up after this. How are you doing here tonight?
What's up, guys? Hey, man, I'm just hanging out in my bed, just chilling. So is you guys, man?
Not too much. You're, of course, on with Dan and Omega Squad, but Omega, he doesn't say much during the wrestling interviews. I wish we could just get him a little more involved in the wrestling. But he's not around here. But anyway, getting to the point, I want to know the match. If not the match, then the wrestler that you saw for the first time and you said, this is what I want to do.
It's well, there's a lot of guys that I could say that, you know, motivated me or influenced me, but I started watching wrestling in 1999. I was 5 or 6 years old. I was a little too young to be watching, but I remember my cousin would watch it a lot, and whenever I would go to his house, which would be like once a week, you know, like we'd catch SmackDown on Thursdays and stuff like that, you know, Rock and Austin, they stuck out to me. Because, like, to me, like, I know you hear this all the time, but, like, those were, like, larger-than-life characters. Like, when you heard the glass shatter, you knew, like, something was about to go down with Stone Cold. Or, you know, when The Rock would come, he was just so charismatic. And, like, you always wanted to kind of be that person, you know. But, yeah, like, I actually didn't decide I wanted to be a pro wrestler until 2002. I remember this night so, like, clearly, but I was sitting home watching Raw. I was, like, 8 years old, I think, and I was watching some Raw. It was Jeff Hardy versus The Undertaker. Jeff Hardy was, you know, I guess he just came out to break up with Matt, and he was the underdog. They had a ladder match that night, and, like, Undertaker was, like, a big dog, and then you had, like, the underdog, Jeff Hardy. And to me, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I hope Jeff Hardy wins because, like, I like Jeff Hardy. So what happened in the match that kind of, like, got me, you know, started and I wanted to become a wrestler was there were moments in the match where, like, Jeff Hardy would be so close to getting the title, and, like, you know, every time he would go, he'd come closer and closer to getting the title. Undertaker would just always, like, cut him off and stuff like that. And, like, I was so emotionally invested in his, you know, everything he did that, like, I said that night, you know, like, I have to do this. Like, this is what I want to do. And from there, you know, I was pretty much made the decision. That's what I wanted to do. So I guess The Rock, Austin, two main guys that influenced me. And then you have Jeff Hardy, which, like, sealed the deal for me.
All right. So then when did you decide to actually take action and get to a school? And what was that school?
That's a funny question because, like, I used to, like, WWE was, like, the only thing I really watched growing up. Like, I remember seeing TNA when it first started back in, like, 02, 03. It was on, I think, FSN. I think it was, like, Fox's, like, sister channel or, like, something like that. I don't know, but yeah. I remember seeing that, and I've seen guys like AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Low-Key, R-Truth, you know, which was Ron Killings at the time. And it's funny because, like, I actually saw some CZW stuff. I don't know if you remember Channel 48.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, like I remember seeing like some early like CZW stuff with like Lobo, Ruckus, and guys like that, and I was just like, wow, like there's so many like good wrestling out there. So I didn't decide that. I didn't start researching wrestling schools till I was about like 11. I remember sitting on the computer one night. I was like, damn, like I really want to do this, but like, how do I go about doing it? Like, I know at the time I always thought like you just show up to WWE and you say, hey, I'm gonna be a wrestler, and they put you on. But I didn't know what went into it. So I spent like the whole day like researching schools around me, how you become a wrestler and stuff like that. And I remember typing in schools in Philadelphia. And this is actually funny because one of the schools that I saw were ACBW when it was running. And,
oh, wow.
I remember being like 12, 13 years old, and I remember emailing the person, I guess who was in charge of the email or in charge of the school, whatever. I was like, hey, I'm 12 years old. I've wanted to be a wrestler my whole life. I don't know if my parents would let me, though, but if can work something now, blah, blah, blah. And I remember the guy, like, I don't know who it was, but I remember them emailing me back and saying something like, yeah, I mean, we do take 12 years old is a little too young, but maybe when you turn 13 or 14, we can negotiate. And then, like, that was, like, the first, like, taste of, like, oh, my gosh, like, I could really do this. But, of course, my parents shot me down. You know, they were like, yeah, you're not doing wrestling. You can forget about that, because to them, they thought it was, like, real. And they felt like, you know, I could get hurt, which, you know, you do. But, yeah, and I remember a year after that, like, I was still searching for wrestling schools. That's all I was thinking about when I was younger. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I have to do this. So I remember emailing DJ Hyde when
really?
I was, like, 14. Yeah. I was, like, 14. I was
wow.
like, hey, same thing. I was like, hey, I want to do this my whole life, whatever. I don't know if my parents let me do it, but blah, 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 this, that. And he sent me back a very, like, nice email. He's like, yeah, you're a little young, but if you give us some time and you're serious, you know, we can talk business. And then, you know, it wasn't until about, I was 14 years old, and this is going to lead into when I took my first bump. So I was 14 years old, and my mom finally gave in. She was like, okay, the only way I let you start wrestling is if, you know, you get straight A's. So I was like, oh, okay, that's easy. So I got a straight A's, and she was like, okay, now I start looking for places. I remember typing in, you know, same thing, Philadelphia schools, wrestling schools in Philadelphia, and I came upon a school that I'd never heard before, you know, like it was called, you know it now as local wrestling, but at the time it was called DWF/local. This had to have been about 2008, 2009, I'm not sure. I emailed the person, which I think at the time was Doc Diamond, and mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, like I'm a 14-year-old kid, and, you know, I want to be a wrestler, this and that. My parents are all for it, whatever. So I'm going to come down to the school. And I remember at the time I got my parents to, like, say yes, and my brothers, they all came to, like, I guess my tryout meeting / whatever. And I remember going into Doc Donner's office. He's like, kid, you really want to do this? And I was like, yeah, I wanted to do this my whole life. And we sat down, we talked. They explained to my parents, you know, there's no money in this. You know, like, you're going to get hurt, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And I remember my mom being scared, like, oh, my gosh, you hurt yourself. You know, that's on you. I was like, I was so excited to see a wrestler ring. Like, so, like, after that, I got in the ring. And the person that gave my first trial was actually, goes by a name, his work name is Mr. Arrogance. He tag team with Kareem in
okay.
the tag team of Bad Karma. He's the first one I actually get in my tryout. I did the bumps, push-ups, you know, normal stuff. And I started training there. At this time, DWF was in Riverton, New Jersey. It's like this. It looked like a side store or something. It was next to like a pizza shop. And
okay, yeah.
It was there at the time. This was, yeah, like I said, it was about 08, 09 maybe. And at that time, I was in my freshman year of high school. So, you know, I was like kind of, I don't want to say serious, but like had a lot of other things going on, some serious stuff, and I was training for about 3 months there, and then something happened where I couldn't go anymore. So then I stopped for a while, but that's where I got my first bumps. You know, I learned some the basic lockup, stuff like that. But it wasn't until my senior year of high school, well, after my senior year of high school, it was the summer of 2012, I was online one night on Facebook. And, I still kept in touch with people at DWF and Loco. I had them on Facebook, and I remember seeing a post like, DWF / Loco is moving to Fisherville, Pennsylvania, which is legit 5 minutes away from me. I remember seeing it like, oh, my gosh, like, I can actually start, you know, like, you know, there's no transportation issues. I have my license now. I can drive, whatever. So I remember emailing Doc and saying, hey, Doc, like, I want to wrestle. Like, I'm serious at the time. Like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And he was like, come down to the school. Like, I remember being so nervous that day because I hadn't done it in, like, 3 years. So, like, I got there, and Jose was there, and Robin, and their son was there. And they handed me a paintbrush and said, get started on painting, because they had moved to the new place at Sportsplex in Fisherville. So for about, like, 3-4 weeks, I was there every single day, Monday through Friday, just, like, painting at school, do whatever had to be done. Like, you know, they call it paying your dues. Still paying my dues to the day, because I'm not trying to talk like I'm, you know, a vet or anything, because, you know, I'm still a student, still learning. But, yeah, I was doing that for about 3-4 weeks until they set up the ring. So This was about August, late August. Of 2012, when I got back into the ring.
I had no idea that you were picking it back up around the time that I met you, we did that angle with the Ron Starr and everything, where you were – I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea that – and you actually called
like
into this program before.
Hmm?
You actually called into this program before. The
he's
mysterious
my,
yeah.
He's my daddy.
Yes, Teresa Smith from Philadelphia. But anyway – we're jumping way ahead. So so you really just started again when the move to Vesterville. Now, of course, they're not there now. That's neither here nor there. But so during that time, that's where you're getting. That's amazing. You have less time in than I thought. Like I thought you had at least two or three. But we're really talking.
No,
this is,
no.
Yeah, this is really just your first year that you're completing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually didn't start working full on a straight, you know, weekend basis until I think this is March. I had the match with my first match at DWF was
Was that Blackie?
Against Blackie. Yeah, Blackie. That's
yeah,
the,
I called
my
it.
First like yeah, my first like real match and from there I've been working steady. So like, this March last March, actually. Wait, no. This March coming up is going to be, like, my official, like, full 1 year.
Holy
like, still...
cow. He's
yeah.
a kid. Get him off the phone.
No. I had no idea. That was your first match.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
my first official. Yeah, first. Well, I did, like, a squash thing, but I don't really count that. But my first, like, because after that I had steady, you know, bookings from there, I guess. So that's, like, my first official match, you know.
You have this natural athletic ability. You probably hear this
Thank
a lot.
You.
But you have this natural athletic ability, and you, in your first year, let's talk about this for a second, with On Point Wrestling, your first year, really, in this business, you're wrestling guys like Amasis, Black G's, and I want to go through these matches kind of separately, but... this has to be something else because, like, I don't know, like 3 years ago you're watching these guys on TV. Now you're in there trying to gain their respect. What's that like, though? Is that kind of a surreal moment for you?
Yeah, I have this thing in my mind before any match. I don't care who I'm working. I'm always like, damn, I'm horrible. I don't deserve to be here. Like, I guess it's like a confidence thing, but now I'm starting to learn that, you know, like I can actually go with these guys. So, like, I remember the first match that I had, official match, because I did the four-way, but the first match I had was against Black G's, and I remember being so nervous that day, like, because this is Black Jesus, this is like, you know, like legit. Like, this is someone that's been on TV, you know, been mm-hmm. toured the world and stuff. So I really had to, like, step up. This is like the test to see, okay, can you go? Like, can you, you know, can you wrestle? And I remember he came into the building and I was working out. And I saw him, so I got out, you know, I said hello, you know, like, what's up, you know, what's going on? And he immediately got into the ring, and, like, we're going, like, we're talking a little bit. And, like, he kind of, like, lets me, like, call them, not the whole match, but he lets me, you know, say what I want to do. Because I was like, okay, you're the vet, you know, like, whatever you want me to do. If you want me to, like, if you want to bump me the whole match, like, I'll do whatever you want me to do, you know. And he was like, no, like, I want you to get yourself, I want to get you over, you know. So I was kind of like, oh, my gosh, like, this is crazy. So we ended up going out there and having an awesome match. The crowd liked it. You know, of course, there's things that I need to work on. So, like, you know, I was pretty, you know, excited after the match. It was good. And that's the first time I was like, oh, my gosh, maybe I am good at this. Maybe I can go real far with this, you know. So I was pretty excited about that.
Well, when you went back to training and started taking bumps again, was there anything that came right back to you, or was it like a learning curve all over again?
It was a little bit of both. Like, I knew, like, looking back at it, like, the way I take my back bumps, my foot bumps, and face bumps is a lot different now. Before, I remember like, I used to be kind of, like, awkward with it. I had natural athleticism, but, like, I was, like, awkward with my movements. Now, like, the most important thing, like, is the way you move in the ring and stuff. One of the most important things is, like, how you move and maneuver around the ring, like, having that ring presence. So, like, now, this time around, like, I kind of gained that aspect of wrestling, like, rather quickly than I did before, you know. I was kind of awkward before, because I guess I was, like, 14, and I was real skinny, and I was still growing. So, I mean, it's a lot better this time around. So.
Well, how do you go about training now? Is there, like, a gym regimen that you do along with in-ring time? What do you do now?
I try to – that's one thing. I'm still a student at Loco. I'm still training. I haven't been able to be there as much as I would like to because, you know, I'm trying to finish my college and get the associates and then worry more about wrestling. So, like, I'm in school and working and stuff like that, so I try to make it there at least twice a week. And, you know, but other than that, hitting the gym, working out at home, trying to – because one thing I learned, too, is, like, wrestling's like a cosmetic business. Like, you have to look like a wrestler. You know, you can't look like one of the people in the crowd. They always say that. So trying to get more in the ring, but I've been working, like, cardio and weightlifting and getting bigger and stuff like that. So that's basically it.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, did you start going to the gym and weight training before you started training in wrestling, or was it the other way around?
I actually, like, from August 2012 to now, I gained 20 pounds. I was 165, 170. And it's crazy to think, because I don't even see that much of a difference. When I look at pictures, I kind of see it. When I first started training back again in 2012, like I said, I was 165, 170. Now I'm like 192-ish. So, like, I definitely saw, like, a massive gain from then. But, like, wrestling definitely motivated me to look the part, you know, like, to get in shape, because that's, like, very important if you want to make it. One of the most important things.
All right, now we covered pretty much the Black G's match. What about Shane Strickland? Now, this is from Fight to Survive for On Point Wrestling. What's it like getting in there? Because Shane, he's another guy that has that natural athleticism, and he's only been around for maybe 3 or 4 years, too, but this was really a great meshing of styles and quite a match on its own. But just take us in the ring and what that match was like for you.
Wow, like, I had met Shane prior to that, like, we talked and stuff, like, he was always, like, a nice, humble dude. Like, I always say this, like he's like you said, he's been in for like 3 years, but like he's much more like advanced, and he's really like a student of the game. Like when we were like going over a match and stuff, like he didn't just care. Like he went up to the promoter and said, "Hey, like how much time do we have? Like, I really want to have some time with this kid and really like put on a great match." So like before we even wrestled, he was looking out for me, you know, trying to make sure I got over and stuff like that. So like when he's calling a match, he's the type of guy that can look at anyone. I don't care who you are, whatever wrestler you are, like if you're a hot flyer, power guy, whatever, and he can piece the match and put it together. So like he's really advanced, like it's crazy. So I think that's one of my favorite matches, like one of my best matches that I've ever had was with him, and like I thank him. So that's definitely one of my favorites.
And then of course we have the 1 year anniversary show on January 4th of this year. You took on Amasis. Now Amasis in On Point Wrestling has had a lot of great matches as well. He's won the four way before. He's beat Sanjay Dutt in the company. So what's it like getting in there with Amasis?
Yeah, it's awesome. Most people don't know he's actually one of the guys that helped train me. Last year he would come every Wednesday and work with me, like, and try to help me out. That match was awesome. Like I love that match too. If you want to watch it, it's actually you just type in on YouTube Tyler versus Amasis on YouTube, and you can check it out. But like. We kind of had like a little chemistry because we did the four way and we trained together too. So, like when we got to the building, we were excited and we put the match all together very well, and it was awesome. Like that's another guy that I learned a lot from too. Like he just wants to go in there and have the best match possible, and that's kind of the same thing I like to do too. Like just go out there and just work.
Yeah, definitely. Now, coming up on March 15th, you have a Opportunity Knox match. Now, this is against someone from the Midwest, Josh Crane. Do you know anything about Josh Crane, or what do you expect out of this match?
Yeah, he was actually trained by Drake Younger, so like you already know instantly that he's awesome. So I had a chance to talk to him a little bit. You know, awesome kid. He's actually the same age as me. So that's awesome. We're both young kids trying to make a name for ourselves. So I think the match is going to go very well. Like we're just going to wrestle, and, you know, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited for that. Really excited for that, actually.
Now, when you look back at your time in On Point Wrestling, you still haven't gotten to the pay window, as they say. Is that something that bothers you, or is this something that you just want to improve upon and eventually get the Duke?
Like I said, it's one of the things that I'm starting to gain now is like more confidence in myself, because before I used to be like, oh my gosh, like I suck, why am I doing this? But like I go back and I watch the match with Black Geese, I watch the match with Shane Strickland, I watch the match with Amasis, and I'm like, okay, I'm here for a reason, you know, like I'm putting good matches on with you guys, so you know my time will come, you know. As long as I just keep working hard and just improving each time, then you know I'll eventually get there. So yeah, that's how I look at it now, you know.
Yeah, definitely you're in there for a reason. Now you've also caught the eye, besides On Point Wrestling, you've caught the eye of ECWA. You were there for a showcase match, I believe, back in September, but now you're back. Are you back more on a full-time scale, or what's going on with ECWA?
Before I address that, I just want to like give a shout out to my trainer Mike Keener, and as well as Teddy Fine, those and Ron Starr. Those three guys are the ones that you know really like worked me and molded me into the guy that I am now. Mike Keener, actually, he's the one. If it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd ever have a chance at ECWA. He actually like vouched for me to get on, and I thank him for that. I came in there in the Super 8 Battle Royal last year. That was fun. And then that following May, I had a match with my trainer, Teddy Fine. We put on a match, put on a very good match. It was good. I've been talking, you know, from there I was talking to, you know, Joe. He was he was real interested, you know, in getting me back. Just a matter of timing and stuff like that. It wasn't until this past January 25th to be exact, was, you know, when I made my return, and I had a match with two. So, I mean, now me and Mike, we've talked dates and stuff like that. So, like, I'm just waiting to go back. So, it's pretty awesome.
Awesome. Go ahead, Dan.
What is the most important thing after a match? I've been backstage, and a lot of the guys talk to each other. What's the most important thing that someone has said to you or told you after a match?
Basically, like, whenever, like, I have a match, like, the first thing you're supposed to do is talk to the person that you had a match with or people that you had a match with. And then you go to the promoter, and the promoter likes it. That's good. So, but the best thing that happened, the best thing someone had told me was, I'll never forget, like, the match I had with Blackie that night. I came back, and, like, Darrell comes up to me. He's like, or I hate to break Keith in there, but a monster comes up to me, and he goes,
sorry.
He goes, dude, that was freaking awesome. Like, oh my gosh, like, he was so proud of me. And Ron Starr came up to me. He was like, don't quit, kid, like, you belong here. So, like, from, like, after that match, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I really do belong here. So, yeah, look, that's some of the best thing to have, to come back from a good match and have all the people backstage, like, just congratulate you. So, you know, it definitely feels good.
Awesome.
That's great, man, yeah.
Now, when you look back at your first full year, because you're coming up on it in March, so this is the perfect time to have you on, what do you take away? I mean, what's, like, the biggest thing that you can say, yeah, I do belong here? I know this is kind of like the theme of this interview, that you certainly do belong here, but what is the biggest thing for you at this point? Whether it was a match, whether it was a moment, whether it was a word of advice, whatever it is, or what do you just take away from this first year?
I always, like, cringe when I watch, like, my matches from before. Before, like, when I, like, my first, you know, couple matches, I used to want to put matches together just based upon moves, not really, like, the crowd psychology and crowd work and character and stuff like that. Like, my last, like, I want to say five matches I've had, like, I've really, like, worried about, like, a lot, you know, like, everything that goes into, like, the psychology of the match, to, like, facials, stuff like that. So, like, I actually had a match with a two at ECWA, and, like, John Finnegan came up to me, and he said, I was like, hey, John, how was the match? Because, you know, John's, like, one of the greatest dudes ever. And he was like, yeah, it was great. Just wish you had a little bit more offense. And to me, that was, like, even though it was, like, critique, it was, like, kind of, like, a good critique, because before I used to hear from people, like, yo, you're doing too much. You know, less is always more, less is always more. And the match with the two, I try to, like, do just enough. And it's kind of, like, one of the things where, like, I know my balance now, because, you know, before I used to, like I said, I used to do a lot of, like, unnecessary stuff. And then to have John say, okay, maybe you could have done a little bit more offense, that's just kind of like, okay, saying that, you know, it's a whole balance thing. Like, for, like, once he said that, I was like, okay. Because I know if I would have added more offense into it, it would have been perfect. But I was so hard in that match not to do too much or unnecessary things that I didn't do that much offense. But that's one of the things that I learned from this year, is that, like, less is always more. And you should always, you know, work the crowd and your facial expressions. That's all, like, that's, like, the most important thing in the match, rather than just doing, like, a bunch of stuff.
All right. Now, do you have any upcoming bookings you want to tell people about? We already told people March 15th, that's On Point Wrestling, as they return to Sports and More for their next show. Now, of course, that's Throwdown. You're taking on Josh Crane. Do you have any other bookings coming up?
This weekend, if weather permits, I'll be in Little Egg Harbor, New Jersey, BWO, Body Slam Wrestling Organization. There's some good dudes on the show. Saigon's on the show. Delirious is on the show. Red Tide is on the show. Some good dudes. I'll be there this weekend. And next weekend, I will be very local, actually, to where I live. I'll be in Levittown for UWF on February 22nd. And then that weekend after that, I'll be down in North Carolina for CWF Mid-Atlantic. They're having a tag tournament up there, so I'll be up there. And then I can't even think what else, but yeah, those are like the next couple of things that I have coming on, you know.
Now, if people wanted to follow you, where can they do that, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter?
On Twitter, just follow me at Oz Tyler Pro. You just type it in on the search, you'll find me. Facebook, Oz Tyler, you know, it's only two things I have. I don't have Instagram, but that's in the works, so.
All right. So, and of course, don't forget, VOW is coming up April 5th.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yes. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that.
Yes,
I don't know who
I'm
having a match with yet, but I'm excited because that's another opportunity to showcase.
Not only that, the Dean of Credibility. Yeah, the Dean of Credibility will be tagging along. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but yes, the Dean of Credibility will be tagging along
you're
there.
Coming too?
Oh, yes.
Awesome,
I will be going with the firm, as they say, and we'll keep that kayfabe for now. But it's gonna be.
By the way, you just reminded me, my boy, man. Like, I gotta give a shout out to Xavier Cross, Matt Tremont, love that dude. Loudy and Drew Blood, shout out to those guys. Those guys are awesome.
Yes, the firm, as we say, shout out to the firm. But that's going to be an amazing time. I'll be able to talk to you at the On Point show about exactly what's going on there. But an exciting event will be taking on, which is why I am going. More will be talked about on this very program about what's going on there as well. But I do want to say, Oz, it has been a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed your time here on HIAC Talk Radio, because I'll certainly say you do belong. So.
Thank you, sir. It means a lot, man.
But I can't wait for your next match at On Point Wrestling, as I get to call it, and good luck, of course, this weekend at BWO. Just to check out Body Slam Wrestling Organization for more information on that. Dan, do you have the website? I know you're usually the website guy. That's why I'm turning to you.
No.
Well, we'll find it by the end of the show. How's that? But Oz, I do want to thank you for your time, and it has been a great
year. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay, you have a good night now.
All right, you too, man. I'll talk to you.
Swagger Like Us. Dan, what's the website for BWO?
The website is bodyslamwrestling.com or call 973-902-2345 for tickets.
Say that again. It was just one big clump. I couldn't understand it.
Bodyslamwrestling.com or call 973-902-2345 for $10 tickets.
$10 tickets. Omega, are you ready?
Mega thrusters are go.
End the suffering. I don't know why you need a minute to yourself to end that suffering, but anyway, that's the theme song. Omega, yeah. We have a fight night this weekend, and it's headlined by, I think, what should be a very good one. Of course, we have Lyoto Machida. He's down to middleweight now. He is a former light heavyweight champion for the UFC. never defended it, but he still is a former. He lost it on his first defense, is what I should say. Taking on Musashi. Now, this is really title implications in this one.
Yes, there's a lot of title implications at middleweight for this particular fight. Even though, Musashi has been fighting at 205 and coming back to 185 here, this is an interesting fight in a lot of ways. I mean, these are two guys that are highly ranked, that are really, really good. And this is – I'm really, really interested in this fight. You have Lyoto Machida who, looking at his record, I mean, obviously he was a great talent at light heavyweight. To be down at 185 and have that kind of ability is remarkable.
His last fight, that knockout to Munoz.
Yeah, that head kick knockout threw Munoz's blocked hands is ridiculous. He is the type of fighter that gives anyone fits. He is elusive, knows how to keep a guy at distance and avoid his punches, avoid his strikes, and just counter him as he comes in. And his counters are quick. He is tough to get trapped against the cage and get him into position where you can actually hit him or take him down. On the other side, you got Gegard Mousasi, who is a very well-rounded fighter as well. Usually knows how to use his length and use his abilities to work into positions where he can really lay his strikes in. He is also a good good striking, good fairly decent ground game. So he is mostly known for his kickboxing. So that's going to play interestingly against Machida's karate and his ability to counter strikes. This one has the making of a very strategic battle.
It could, and that's kind of a weakness of Machida in a way. Because his strategy sometimes, and this is not all the time because he has finished 50% of his fights, but sometimes we saw it with the Dan Henderson fight, we saw it with the Evans fight. He sometimes is a little too – not Evans. I forget who he lost to. What was the fight he lost to on decision? It was kind of somewhat controversial.
Was it Phil Davis? Wasn't Phil
Davis. It was Phil Davis. It was that.
Yeah.
Some people still say Machida won that one, whatever. I'm not here to talk about that. But sometimes this strategy doesn't really make for an exciting fight is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it can be. So, whether or not it's necessarily an exciting fight, I think the skills of the – if you appreciate guys who really know how to fight and really have a cerebral approach to the game, then you're going to like this you're going to like this matchup.
Now, of course, Souza has – not Souza. I keep getting these two mixed up, and I always did when they were in Strikeforce together. But 85% of the fights that Musashi has been in, he has finished. So this is a finisher. But then you have the takedown. Machida defends 80% of his takedowns. So,
yeah.
I mean, you have a really good – you really don't know where this one is going to be and what their game plans are in this one. So, just to your point, I really don't know. This is going to be an amazing fight, though, and people should really turn it on.
Yeah, I mean, and people just need to not be concerned about, if it's a little slow. Because this is not a fight – this is not going to be a all-out – war type of fight. This is going to be two very smart fighters who are looking for openings and looking for opportunities. You have to be able to appreciate that type of fight. I don't expect this to go be a quick fight. It's going to be a long, drawn-out affair. Not necessarily unexciting, though. You just have to have a different mindset going into this fight. That being said, if I'm making predictions, I like Machida in this fight. I think Machida is the more talented fighter. I think he's got the patience and he's got the explosiveness and the elusivity to keep Musashi at bay
and to win the decision. Yeah, to win the decision.
Okay, so you think this is going all five, and it will be a decision for Machida. Now, the thing is, I mean, Masashi is champion everywhere he's been. He, of course, was the Dream light heavyweight champion. He was the Strikeforce light heavyweight champion. So it's really this is a pick'em in my book.
Well,
it really
is. The one thing with Musasi is he has not fought in UFC except for that one time. And I really want to see him face the level of competition that is provided by the UFC. Lyoto Machida certainly delivers that. So I think, you know, is the cut to 185 going to be a problem? Don't know. He's fought there before, so we know he can make it. But you know, there's a lot of question marks about Gegard Mousasi, and this is almost a year since his last fight. There's some question marks around here, but I mean, the dude does have almost 40 fights. He has 34 wins. You know, he's got talent. Don't get me wrong. He is a tough out for anybody. But I'm going to pick. I think right now, stepping up to Lyoto Machida in the UFC is a very tall order.
True. And he has looked great since he's moved down to middleweight. Notwithstanding, we have a co-main event. Ronaldo Souza taking on Francis Carmont. I'm already picking Souza. This guy is, since he's been in UFC, has been, even Belfort's not calling him out.
Yeah, exactly. This is perhaps another setup fight for Jacare to really establish himself as the next guy at middleweight. Even potentially before Lyoto Machida or at least Lyoto Machida. I'm not sure Gegard Mousasi would be fighting for the championship, but certainly Lyoto Machida. This is a way for Jacare to come out and establish himself as the monster I think he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Carmont is a guy who's not a very not terribly exciting fighter. Depends on kind of what he shows up. He has some submission wins. He can submit guys, but you know his last couple of fights have been kind of boring decision fights. He tends to get a guy down and wrestle him to death. He's one of those not necessarily lay and pray, but just grinds out the wins. Not going to have that kind of comfort level with Jacare Souza. Jacare Souza is perhaps the best grappler in mixed martial arts. And this is a guy who knocks guys out on top of it. So, you know, if you're looking at a guy who has the entire package that you want to be a mixed martial artist, you do not have to look any farther than Jacare. You know, that his KO of Yushin Okami was vicious.
Mm-hmm.
And his submissions of Chris Camozzi and Ed Herman in the two fights previous were very, very good. First round submissions. This is a guy who has all the talent in the world. I just don't think Carmont, who is going to have to rely on his wrestling, is going to be able to take a guy who can handle stuff off his back like Souza. And Souza's strong. Souza is a guy who's going to be able to use his strength and be able to submit you. So I'm picking Souza all the way here. I think it's going to go out in first round via submission.
I'm going first round knockout. Not a TKO. This is a knockout.
KO? I could see that, too.
Losing, yeah, just knocking this guy's head off his shoulders. So now, the next one that I'm talking about is very intriguing, and this is Eric Silva taking on promotional newcomer Takanori Sato. I believe I'm saying that right, or Sato.
I think it's Sato.
Probably Sato. But this is very interesting because Sato is a tremendous submission fighter. He's fought mostly for Pancrease throughout his career. Just was on a deep card not too long ago. So this guy, I think we're going to see a possible upset, but only on the strength of the fact that people don't know who he is, really.
I think that's fair. I'll be honest, I don't know much about Sato. I look at his record. I don't see any names that strike me in the larger MMA world. But he does have submission victories in his last couple fights. So, you know, it's hard to say because I'm just not familiar with Sato. Eric Silva I am familiar with, and he is kind of one of the more recent busts in UFC history. Came in to UFC really highly touted, picked up a submission or a TKO victory over Luis Ramos, and then it's kind of fallen, you know, fallen to Carlo Prater, fallen to John Fitch, and his last fight versus Don Hyung Kim, Stun Gun, got knocked out. So he's 500 in the UFC at this point. He, you know, I'm not saying he's not desperate for a victory, but I you know, he's just not the fighter we thought he was when he came into the UFC. That being said, he's young, he's athletic, he's got a lot of skills. There was something there before. Whether or not he can put it all together is the question. Without knowing much about Sato, I think I'm going to lean with Silva here just based on his pure athleticism. And we'll say the decision victory.
I got to disagree. I'm going with the newcomer with a second-round submission.
Very good.
Now, this is, of course, a Brazilian card. Now, is there anything else on the main card you want to discuss? I know Charles Oliveira, he is very highly touted. Do you think this is just another warm-up fight for him?
Oliveira needs a win badly. Oliveira is a guy that can beat kind of the mid-tier of the division, but when he runs up against the elite, he just can't hack it. I mean, his losses to UFC read like a list of some of the top fighters in his weight class. I mean, in lightweight and featherweight, you know, between Donald Cerrone, Jim Miller, Cub Swanson, Frankie Edgar, these are not guys that you really hang your head at because these are really good fighters. But still, he has two losses. Looking at his third here, a loss to a relatively unknown Andy Ogle, despite his three fights in the UFC, nobody's really talking about this guy. If Oliveira loses to Ogle, I think he's potentially out of the UFC at this point. So it really a must win for Charles Oliveira at this point. I think I'm going to pick him in this fight because I think he does have that kind of talent. And he does win against those mid-tier fighters, but I don't really think a win will elevate him much in winning that.
Okay. Now, anything else you want to talk about, prelims included? It's one of those cards.
It's one of those cards where you can pick and choose guys that you've heard before. The Cristiano Marcelo is a name you hear a lot. Francisco Trinaldo is a guy who you hear a lot as well. But he's coming off a loss to Piotr Hallman. Yuri Alcantara, who we remember having that loss to Uriah Faber, again, needs a win. I mean, these are guys, Brazil cards, guys that are either coming off losses or are local guys we just don't know a lot about. So nothing in here that I'm going to say is really piquing my interest at this point.
All right. So, of course, the prelims, they're going to be – is that – yeah, that's on UFC Fight Pass is where you can check out the preliminary card. Of course, it's still free. Still the free trial until March 1st. So if you want to see some fights for free on the Fight Pass, go to UFC.tv and sign up for the Fight Pass. Credit card is required, however. Credit card is required for the sign-up. Because if you forget to cancel, they're going to charge you for that.
Yep.
For that
they have
month.
No problem doing that.
It's in the terms of service, people. Now, you can watch the main card. That's going to be on Fox Sports 1. And that starts at 10:30, so it's a little bit later than usual. I think it's on the west coast of Brazil. So it should be a very interesting card, though, at least the top three that we discussed in a little more detail. Anything else in MMA you want to talk about, Omega?
Well, I mean, I do want to mention, I don't think we've mentioned it yet, that the for UFC 170, the fight between Rashad Evans and Daniel Cormier making his 205 debut is now off. Evans injured his knee this close to the fight. To the event, they have canceled the fight to this point.
And nothing has been announced either moving up to the card or co-main event-wise. Most likely the McDonald and Maya fight will now be the co-main event. And
I think that makes all the most sense at this point. But.
And probably Alexis Davis and Jessica Eye. Of course, the controversial Jessica Eye will be moved up to the main card most likely.
Assuming that everything is still the way it is with Eye, she did test positive for marijuana. But it's been a weird kind of week with that. She's denying it, I've heard different things about it. The whole thing, like we talked about last week, is a mess.
Yeah.
Assuming that fight continues, I would expect that probably to be moved up to the main card, but still.
And we'll talk about that. That takes place at the end of the month. That takes place February 22nd, so we'll talk about that in a lot more detail. Of course, Ronda Rousey, possibly her toughest competition yet, and another Olympian, Sarah McMahon. So this should be interesting.
Well, and I think if you're following my Twitter, I mentioned this week that Ronda Rousey has just got two new movies signed. So she will be doing movies now. So you want to get in now. Watch her while you still get to see her, I guess is pretty much what I'm...
Well, and that's why she took the fight so quickly. She just fought in December, and she's already fighting in February, so...
Right. I think this next... The first movie will be filmed immediately after this fight with Sarah McMahon, and then I think the next one isn't... She's attached to it, but it's not actually filming until, like, next year, so... Might see her again in the back half, but... the writing's on the wall. If she can be successful at movies, she's going to go the way of Gina Carano, and she won't be around.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, sad but true, but that's going to take place in Las Vegas coming up on the 22nd, and, of course, Fight Pass and Fox Sports 1 for this weekend, a Brazilian card with three very interesting fights at the top of the card. The co-main event is what it is. I think it's really just to show the dominance of Souza, as we were saying. So kind of throwing him to the lions in a way. Poor Carmont. But, Dan, are you available right now?
I am always available for Hell in a Cell.
That sounds great. HIAC, Dan.
HIAC. I don't know which time.
Yeah, let's all get used to that from now on.
HIAC.
That's right.
Radio.
Yes, but more important than that, let's talk about Raw. What'd you take away from this week, Dan?
The champ getting pinned twice.
I think it's a great way of building up the champion.
Oh, it's great, yeah. I'm the world champion, and I can't beat anybody on a regular show. That's awesome. What do I know? I don't work there. I thought the show was fine, I'm confused by the whole thing. I did like, again, I'm on board for the Wyatt family Shield thing. I am thrilled to death that Lita has been announced as a Hall of Fame induction this year.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. Lita, Hall of Fame. I suppose you're tickled pink, so you agree, Hall of Fame career for Lita.
Yeah, I think what she did and the amount of years she did, I think she deserves it.
How about you, Omega? How do you feel about Lita going into the Hall of Fame?
I'm for it. Certainly, I like Lita going in the Hall of Fame more than the talk of Stacey Keibler going in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, hell no. Absolutely not.
Not the Stacey Keibler?
No, not okay. Stacey. Yes, I'm agreeing
okay.
with you, my
You're
friend.
You're agreeing with me. That's what I'm trying to establish here.
Rocket launch, my friend.
No, yeah, I think I am completely fine with that. Hopefully this is the start of inducting the divas of that era, of that little, what is it, early 2000s era?
So like Victoria within a year. And
yeah, I think Victoria. I think you look
Molly,
at Molly Holly.
Ivory.
Ivory. Jacqueline. Or is Jacqueline already in?
No, Jacqueline's not in.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so you look at that group. I think that's the next logical group of divas that needs to go in. So, yeah, Lita is certainly in that group, certainly of the same level of those women I just mentioned. So,
I think Dean disagrees.
No. I just enjoy the conversation right now. Now, S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Wyatts, you're buying into it, Dan. Why do you like that? What's going on there?
You know what? I was on board with the Wyatts at first, and it kind of died off, and it's built back up. I love the promo. This is just, it's my opinion. You know, you could knock me, whatever you like to say.
Okay.
I love the promos he cut. I love the entrance. I love the Wyatt family, and I love the Shield just as equally. I love their gimmick. I think the reason why I like so much is I really think this is going to lead to Shield splitting off, or at least one of them splitting off. I've always been a big fan of factions, Four Horsemen, NWO, DX. I'm just, as you'd say, I'm tickled pink about the whole thing.
How about you, Omega?
Yeah, I like the idea of the Wyatts and the Shield. I think the execution will be okay. I'm just, you know,
they had a good moment, you know, when they had the standoff. I thought that was a
I'm almost dreading the breakup though. Now it's like, because it's like in my head I see potential with this feud, and I'm like, well, I kind of want to see it go longer than this, but you know, I think. Obviously, they're going to make the WrestleMania or the turn probably sooner, like before WrestleMania for the Shield, and that they break up.
And possibly Roman Reigns against Ambrose for the U.S. title.
Right, and that's kind of like, well, you know, I almost kind of hate to see that. So, I mean, I'm on board in at least in the way that I think the Wyatts and the Shield is interesting. I think it could be good. I think the talent in the ring is there. But I think it's going to be short-lived, and I think we're going to be wanting more.
Well, the one thing I was saying, you know, a couple shows back is I wanted S.H.I.E.L.D. to, you know, last longer. I know eventually they're going to break up. They all do, but I want it to last longer. But think of the matches between Ambrose and Reigns that we're going to get.
I think matches between any combination of those three.
Oh, agreed.
Great. I mean, I think Seth Rollins is getting somewhat lost in this. He's always been kind of the third, getting lost in these things. But I mean, that dude can go.
Oh, they all can.
They all can. And it's just like I hope that eventually Seth Rollins does get his opportunity, because I think he deserves it. But certainly Reigns deserves it. Certainly Ambrose, we've talked about his virtues on this program on a number of occasions. So
definitely, yes. Yes, anything else we take away from Raw?
Do we have an opinion on Betty White?
Oh, yeah, it sucked.
Okay.
I enjoyed the little thing with the New Age Outlaws.
I like Betty White.
I like Betty White. I just, whatever. I don't know why you were there.
Because they were in L.A. and Betty had something to promote.
Good point. But
They were trying to hit that senior citizen demographic that's been slipping from their grasp.
live event traffic is really down.
Well, irregardless, I think her segments were well done, and I think it's a little overblown to get all upset.
I think as far as guest celebrities have gone, that wasn't bad.
Oh, yeah.
Better than most.
Yeah. I still, my favorite would be Bob Barker. They did the little Price is Right thing. Why isn't Bob Barker in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I think Beaker and Sheamus being related is pretty good.
That was good. That was definitely good. So, okay. I think we're pretty much done. I think we covered a lot.
The only other one was Hugh Jackman and the knockout punch. That was pretty good.
Not really.
I think, in my opinion, it was good.
He missed it by a mile.
Okay.
He's Wolverine, man.
How could it be good if he missed it by a mile, though?
He's Jean Valjean.
He's Jean Valjean.
Okay.
I mean, but no, you're saying a moment. You actually popped Omega there. You should give yourself a round of applause for that.
I'll try not to.
But now, why would a moment be good if it was a botched spot? It doesn't make sense to me.
I was really trying to be sarcastic there, dude.
Well, then let me know.
Oh, I'm being sarcastic, dude. Jean Valjean, okay?
Jean Valjean.
Anyway, moving right along. Next week is, of course, the 100th episode celebration. We're going back to the beginning. We have a reunion interview with Fusion DS. That is Damian Dragon and Matt Saigon, three-time former ECWA Unified Tag Team Champions. They were the winners of the 2012 Samoan Cup. Dan, Fusion DS reunites for one night only.
Two of my favorite guys. Matt, I think, has a great future, in my opinion, in this business. Damian was one of my favorites. Those two were some of my favorites to watch in the ring. Some great tag team matches. And Damian and Matt together on the mic is always a great interview. So I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to this. And same thing with LJ. I'm looking forward to that.
Well,
so
I didn't announce it yet, but...
Oh, sorry.
Dan, take it away.
And also LJ Cruz returning. The same thing. Great performer, great interview, always good on the mic, and I'm looking forward to this very much.
Sounds good. Omega, there's not much for you next week. Actually, we're going to talk about UFC Fight Night. In between.
Well, we'll probably talk about UFC 170, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to recap UFC Fight Night next week and preview Rousey against McMahon. So that's what's coming up. Of course, Obey the Puck is on Monday. Moose Knuckle Radio will be on Tuesday. And After Midnight has been moved to next Friday. So it will not be this Friday. It will be next Friday. Omega, where can the fine people find you?
Follow me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
Follow Obey the Puck, Obey Puck Show, Monday nights at 9, and follow me at DanLaw83.
I am the Dean of Credibility Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can follow the Twitter, the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio, at HIAC Talk Radio. Also check out the website at HIACTalkRadio.com, Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. On Blog Talk, of course, we're Blog Talk Radio /HIACTalkRadio. It doesn't get easier than that.
Mm-mm.
On iTunes, make sure you check us out. On iTunes, the keyword would be HIAC. There's a Pinterest out there. There's plenty more opportunities to connect with us on social media. If you want to drop me a line, go ahead at info@HIACTalkRadio.com. Whether it's feedback, whether you want to get booked on the show, whatever it might be. Who knows? Just drop me a line. info@HIACTalkRadio. But until next week, when we celebrate 100 episodes, going back to the beginning with Fusion DS and LJ Cruz, a little less conversation, Dan. Let's conversation, a little more action, please.
get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my god, I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow. I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my god.